And welcome. We are on episode 16 of the Aha Moment. And I won't forget my name this time, Irene. My name is Erin Backus, and I have my co-host with me here today as well, Irene Barber.
And hello, everybody.
And this is basically our time once a month to sit back and relax and learn about fellow HTs or fellow professionals. Like professionals, about their aha moment. And today we have a wonderful guest with us, Pam Catlin. Say hi, Pam.
Hi.
We're so happy to have her here. Pam started her journey in the career of horticultural therapy in 1976 in Eastern Washington State. Since then, Pam has initiated and facilitated over 40 HT programs in Washington, Oregon, Illinois, and Arizona. In Illinois, Pam worked at Chicago Botanic Gardens. Oh, we just did, last two episodes ago, we had Barb on. And that was cool. She has lived in Prescott, Arizona since 1991, serving primarily elders who's with memory loss and adults with developmental and intellectual disabilities. Since the late 1990s, Pam has been on the faculty of the Horticultural Therapy Institute. Both Irene and I went there for our HT certificate. She has retired from full-time HT work and continues to work as part-time as a distance supervisor for HT internships. Pam has served as a board member, a strategic area manager, and on various committees within the AHTA. So we are very happy to have her on tonight.
Good to be here.
I love you. Thank you, Pam. Thanks. And Pam, where are you located now?
So I am in Prescott, Arizona. I've been here since 1991. Mm-hmm. Moved around a lot and then moved here in 91 and have stayed. So mm-hmm.
You like the warmer weather, I imagine.
Well, yeah. And we're a mile high, so we get winter actually. Uh-huh. Okay. But compared to you guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure it is warmer.
Yeah. So as you've heard, we love to hear about how you came across horticultural therapy. What was kind of the light bulb of the aha moment for you to become aware and realize how exciting horticultural therapy is, the fact that this exists as a practice. But before we go there, I would love to just know a little bit about where Erin was talking about the populations that you served. And now that you are partially retired, what were the populations whom you've served? And give us a little bit of that most recent history of yourself. And then we kind of go backwards in time too.
Okay. So prior to retiring, I had worked primarily with elders, and elders was a variety of issues going on for them, and in either long-term care settings or in day centers. Mm-hmm. And I also worked at a residential center for people with memory loss called the Margaret T. Morris Center in Prescott. And there, everybody has a diagnosis of some form of memory loss. And they come in a variety of different stages. And we had a beautiful, they still have their beautiful garden space that right about the time I'd been contracting, and about the time they hired me full time, actually, because they realized it was a better deal than paying my contract fee, I think, and recognizing that once they recreated the therapy garden, and they realized they really needed somebody putting in more hours. Mm-hmm. There, and we could do so much more programming. So we had an acre of garden with wander paths and raised beds and water features and fruit. It was an old orchard at one time. And so old fruit trees that still bloomed and bore fruit. And So it was a great place. And people would just kind of wake up, you know, people who wouldn't even be able to speak anymore could say full sentences out in the garden. And, and it was a great place for families too, you know, to visit. And then I also did some work. The day center always had elders and people with developmental or intellectual disabilities and/or. And then I also had worked for about 11 years as a contractor at a site that served. It was like a sheltered workshop type setting, and so I didn't contract with the site. I contracted with each individual who took part in the program. And it was purely, recreational.
How did they learn about you as individuals to contract you?
So those, there were people there who, some of the people were kind of part of an organization that had group homes and such. And so I would bill that organization. Others lived at home with their parents, and so then I would bill them at home.
Okay. And so you had a relationship with that home, but then the independent, those individuals would say, "Hey, Pam, I would love to have you do a therapeutic session with me. Can I hire you to do this?"
Well, actually it wasn't like that. That would have been great. I think I only had something like that one time, and I just absolutely loved it. But typically there would be a site, and then we'd hold the program there, and people would come to that site and So we'd have a group session, but the one-on-one program is just fantastic. You know, it's just you really see what a difference the HT makes when you're doing the one-on-ones. And at the residential memory care place, we had that opportunity. They understood. So we did group programming, but we also did a lot of one-on-one for those that group just didn't work anymore.
And how many residents lived at that that beautiful setting? It sounds like
the
orchard and all that acreage of garden.
When I started, a full house would be 50 people, but by the time I retired, which was 12 years later after I started full time, 12 years later, things had really changed in that the boomers are coming along, and people don't want to share a room so much. So the census actually went down because people wanted private rooms. So instead of having, it just meant there were less residents there, but more people having individual rooms. So I think we were at 36, about 36 when I retired. And so we were able to serve almost all those. There were just a few people who really weren't interested, and so we left them alone. but it was great.
And so working with the advanced aged individuals, was that a population whom you had an original connection with when you started with horticultural therapy? How did you choose to work with that population versus any others?
I think it's a population that I've always been really comfortable with. And from the time I was a kid, I was comfortable with older folks. And in Prescott, we are a retirement community. Our demographics are kind of off the charts in terms of age. And so the majority of the people who live here are over 55. Mm-hmm. So it just, in order to, I started as a contractor in HT and here in Prescott. And in order to make a living, I, you know, really needed to look at all the care centers. There's many, many care centers.
I find that, you know, when we talk to horticultural therapists, a number of them have the opportunity to move into an existing program and or that they have a staff that already is aware of horticultural therapy or therapeutic horticulture. Did you have to work hard on your for yourself to get your feet in the doors of facilities, or were they already adapt to what this practice was?
Yeah. No, unfortunately, and it's still the same today, you know, so few places know about HT and what it can do. So I would say when I came to Prescott, I actually became acquainted before I even moved here. I became acquainted with the person who had started the day center, and she sent me pictures. They already had raised beds, but they weren't doing horticultural therapy. They had a garden club come in right. and garden, and the participants at the day center sat and watched.
Yeah.
And so nobody had a real concept. Nobody had heard of horticultural therapy in this town. Mm-hmm. And nobody had, it took a while for people to understand the concept of how it differed from a garden club coming in and doing all the work and everybody else being passive. So that took some time. And once they saw it, then word got out. And so when I was contracting, I initially was contracting with the place that that I ended up being a full-time employee with after a number of years. So I was there and I was at a number of other care centers. Mm-hmm. And what happened was they got to know, it's a small community, and so people became aware of what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And then so one place added me to their budget for another year. And then a place that had said no after one got in the newspaper, then they called me up and wanted to get started. So, so it was kind of bit by bit and
word of mouth definitely was your advantage there. Once you
got in the door. Yeah.
Erin, what was your question that you asked, Pam?
Oh, no, I mean, I just wondered what year that was, but I, you know, that was probably when you first moved to Arizona, right?
So in 91, I actually started, they wouldn't let me just do horticultural therapy at the day center that had the raised beds, but they hired me as the recreation director, which I always thought would be really fun. I would, because when I was at Chicago Botanic Garden, we worked alongside lots of therapeutic rec specialists, and I thought, oh, that'd be so cool. But it turned out that what they really wanted was kind of bowling, bingo, and other things like. And I got my I had one HT program a day, but it was kind of minimal. Mm-hmm. So I did that for 2 years, mm-hmm. and that also paved the way so people knew who I was in the community. And knew my reputation there. So so then from that night is when I, 2 years later, so it was 93, I guess, when I left that full-time employment and started contracting. And, okay. and initially contracted, the way I worked at the day center was through the local community college. And we've created an indoor plant care class, and it was open to anybody. So it was really great because we'd hold it at the day center, and it was mostly participants, but then people from the community would come in too. And mm-hmm. and so it was a way to incorporate HT on the sly, kind of. Worked out really well.
So one thing I'm hearing, and so I'd love to have a little more clarity, is with that population, did you apply treatment goals, or did you actually approach it from more well-being on a just general holistic approach?
So that somewhat morphed over the years, but I've always been a believer from the time I got started, and that probably is because of where I got started. and that required my very first HT work, I was required to do charting in it.
Right.
And so that just stayed with me. Mm-hmm. But I think in the early years, well, even when I worked at the Botanic Garden, we just did kind of big group goals, and it was more like, what's the purpose of what we're doing?
Right.
And we, because we weren't present with those people that we served, we'd go in and do our program, and then we weren't there after that. So when in Prescott, I think I started that way. And then upon teaching, for the Institute, it was like, God, Pam, you need to shape up here. That's the best part of teaching is ideally it makes you a better professional. And right. So
it drives so you I to decided, formulate it.
Yeah. So I really shifted at that point. And that was pretty early on. I can't remember the first year that I started working with Rebecca and Christine, because it was actually at the Denver Botanic Garden prior to their forming the Horticultural Therapy Institute. But so way back then, it was like I decided it's important to change and upgrade what we were doing.
And did anyone?
And so actually, I would do. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, did anyone then want to actually see your documentation? Was there an opportunity for that?
Not for years. Uh-huh. I just kept doing it and turning it in. No, I don't know what they did with it. Nobody really wanted to see it. And until, so I was brought on full time in 2005. And somewhere in there, on the early end of that, our organization for the residential center would get CARF would come in, and they're a certifying body for started with rehab facilities, but now they do lots of different programs, including they even do day centers now. But they used to do assisted living centers, and they still do that. Mm-hmm. And they have very high standards, and they're very person-centered focus. That's, resident-centered focus. Mm-hmm. And so they actually ask about almost the same question as you. Mm-hmm. What do you do with that? Because I'm showing them all my stuff, and they said, what do you do with it? And I said, oh, I always turn it in. But at that point, nothing I ever did was part of the care plan.
Right.
And after CARF was there, they required that that the organization start incorporating HT in the care plan.
That's great.
So
that is so fantastic.
It was very exciting, and it was a very exciting time. And I knew how to write goals and objectives, and most of the other staff really hadn't had a lot of training in that. So it was, so we all learned, worked together. But it was a very exciting time to have that shift. And then it became part of the business plan to have HT in their 5-year plan. Mm-hmm. And have to say that after I retired, they were going through a hard time, and they opted to not replace me they had a part-time person for a while. And then they ended up advertising, and but they couldn't get anyone for the pay they wanted to. So they still have the gardens. They have an amazing volunteer that trained with me. And so there's something going on there,
but if that could be a sustainable opportunity of maintaining that care program and promoting that specific assisted living facility versus any other,
exactly,
memory care assisted facility, that would be a really great, opportunity for other organizations to implement.
Yeah.
and HDs to promote that. It's hard to promote that kind of practice because it's not institutionalized, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? So, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. So going back a few steps, how did you come into this practice of horticultural therapy? Were there a few moments of aha, or was there one absolute experience that mm-hmm. you realize, oh my gosh, is there something to this?
So I ended up getting a degree in horticulture. And the reason I was getting a degree in horticulture was I was a farm girl. I was raised in the country, basically. And so I went to the Dean of Ag and said, okay, I expect to get employed when I graduate. I don't really have a clear vision of what I want. Where do you think is the best direction for me to go? And he pushed me into the horticulture department. So then as I was getting closer to my senior year, people started asking the question, what do you want to do when you graduate? And I couldn't really identify what I wanted, except I would always say, I'm not sure, but I know it has to do with people and plants. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And people are like, okay. And you know, because back then, this is the 70s, and you had the floral department, and you had the nursery, and none of those interested me. I knew it was people and plants, but I'd never heard of HT, and nobody else around me had. And then a professor of mine, who was not somebody that I just had this great connection with. But he was not one who looked at that kind of connection. He heard me though. He actually heard what I had been saying, people and plants. And he called me into his office one day, and turns out his daughter was going to school in Michigan at Lansing. And she had contacted him to tell him about this new program called horticultural therapy.
Oh my gosh.
And sent him a bunch of information. It still gives me goosebumps. I mean, it's been ages and I still get all goosebumped. But so he shared that and he said to me, I think this is what you've been looking for. And I read it and it was like, oh my gosh, I think it might be. And my family were all cooperative extension agents, my mom, my dad, and my brother. So that was also kind of stuck in my mind. I knew that that could be people and plants as well as a horticulture agent.
Right.
But so interestingly enough, my first year out of school, and I'll just backtrack, back then, back then it was very different to get into, to become registered and all. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't as much on your coursework as you actually got credit for going out and doing the work, even though you hadn't, you know, you still had the horticulture and I had the basic psychology classes. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that was different than it is now. Mm-hmm. And I went to a community college near where I grew up. And first of all, I was just like, oh my gosh, nobody knows about this field. This college needs to offer a program that's an introduction to horticultural therapy. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking to the head of the Dean of Agriculture there. And he said, have you ever done the work? And I'm like, well, no, no, I haven't. And he said, well, we have a policy here that our instructors all have to have worked in the field before we have them teaching. And instead of that being the end of the conversation, he set me up with a hort therapy program to get my experience. And so they paid my salary and I worked I worked half days at a center that served people with pretty severe developmental disabilities. And a few people with head trauma. It was great. And the other half of the day, guess what I was doing? I was the interim horticulture agent. Mm-hmm. Because they were the place, the extension office was without a horticulture agent. And it only took me about 1 week to figure out which one zinged me. The extension work didn't zing me at all. Right. And I respect it, but it didn't zing me. And the HT work just was amazing.
So you were working for the cooperative extension, getting paid to do the training at another facility.
No, actually it was the community college that paid me to do the HT work.
Oh, okay.
And then the other half of the day I went off and did the horticulture extension work.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Two different. Wow. So it was, I couldn't have, you know, it's like the universe said, this is what you've been talking about. So here you go.
And
so that's how I got started.
In Oregon or where was
it? It was in Washington, in Walla Walla, Washington. Yeah. Wow. Southeastern Washington. So, and here again, it was the place that I was doing the HT work. We had weekly in services from the staff psychologist, and they were just amazing. Mm-hmm. They, you know, just incredible in services. And then also that's where I learned about charting and, And so, yeah, I charted all along. I don't think there was ever a time that I didn't do some form of charting, though nobody ever asked for it until later, you know, much later.
Yeah.
Much
later. And then when you got into more of the horticultural therapy practice, were you getting connected with a network of other horticultural therapists or how did you feel like you were, I don't want to say assimilating, but recognizing the standards, I guess.
Right. So it's an excellent question. And I can have a real clear memory of how that all fell into place. So while I was in Walla Walla during my first year, I had just gotten started at this site when I was introduced to someone who was traveling through, who ended up being very involved he was a horticulture person, but he had all this information from Clemson, South Carolina's horticultural therapy program. Mm-hmm. And he shared that with me. Mm-hmm. And so I had like activity plans and the whole thing and how to set up a program. So I really used that. And then a little bit later, it was probably in the late 70s when the Chicago Botanic Garden put out a set of manuals and for different populations. And I really utilized that as well. Mm-hmm. So those were my go-to. And then I would, having been a 4-H girl, I knew there were all of these publications that were geared for kids. And I would take those and adapt them for the people I was serving and add the HT component to the horticulture activity. So that's how I got started. And then I actually just kind of did my own thing with lots of support from the horticulture community. And I moved and did programming in Hood River, Oregon, where there was already a horticultural therapy program going there, again, with somebody with no training. but it was a great program. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up in Spokane. And at a certain point in Spokane, I finally decided, okay, it's time to become a member of this organization. that I hadn't been doing anything with. So that's when I applied for registration, and then I went to a short course at Kansas State, mm-hmm. and I met, I'm blanking on her last name. Judy was the horticultural therapist at Denver Botanic Garden at the time. I'm blanking on her last name. I'm sorry, Judy. But she was like, you need to go to a conference and you need to give a talk. Mm-hmm. And the next conference was going to be in Denver. So I did. I signed up and I went there, and I had quite a bit of experience with starting programs by that point. So I gave a talk on that. And that's when it really validated what I'd been doing was on target. So that's really important. I know I share that in class, how important it is to get involved,
right,
with another group. If it's, you know, with the national group or a local, if there's an organization of HTs in a community to,
right,
or in a state, to get involved, because you can be going along and you're probably just doing it perfect, but to get together and to get it validated,
yep,
is, or not, you know, maybe there's something that needed to be tweaked or something. Yeah. So that didn't come along for probably 8 years.
The regional networks are definitely a great resource to, if you can't get to AHTA right away, the regional networks are very helpful.
Right. And sure, when I was, you know, in the late 70s and early 80s, there was nothing happening in Eastern Washington, which is where I was most of the time. And Western Washington, Maureen Phillips was over there. She was a long, you know, she'd been involved in AHTA for years and years and years. Of course, back then it was NCTRH. The National Council for Therapy and Rehabilitation Through Horticulture.
Wow.
And so, but she and others were over on the West Coast. And mm-hmm. so there wasn't much available, mm-hmm. unless you went over to the other side of the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're proving the point and you're reiterating something that's been, spoken through most of the interviews that we've had, that it takes so much self-initiative and exploration to come to these real, you know, to come to the fact that, okay, there is an association, but it's not necessary, because it's not a streamlined or mainstream practice, it's not super apparent initially. So you have to do some digging and even to this day, that's the case. So,
I know, I really thought by now it would be different, and that more
it's getting there,
medical, you know, more hospitals and care centers and all would all know about it. And it's still they don't. So one of my passions, and at the conference in October, a group of us are going to be presenting about what needs to happen to kick that into gear. We've talked about it for so long and nothing's happening. So what can we take, just, you know, where are we right now? What are other countries doing, and what can we do to really stimulate that more? Right. 'Cause I would really love to see HT become a known practice before I leave the planet. I never dreamed that I could work. I worked for like over 41 years and that it's still.
Well, you have a new chapter ahead of you right now in your retirement stage. So let us know how we can help you out. We have a question that Aaron is.
Come on.
Aaron has a signature question that we end our interviews with. So I'm gonna give her the reins now. So go ahead, Aaron.
We really had to find a different intro to my ultimate question, because But Pam, I just want to say, like, thank you for coming on. And I really appreciate that you're a fellow 4-H'er. I have not met another person that is a fellow 4-H'er. I've been since I was, Delaware County in New York is all 4-H. And so I've been a 4-H'er for many, many, many years, and I mm-hmm. still have a great connection with them as well. So I love seeing a 4-H'er. But like the ultimate question I have and the closing question that we have for the group tonight.
It's really the most difficult of all the questions.
Because it wasn't prompted, right? I didn't prep you with this question, Pam. What is like your go-to favorite plant to use in your sessions?
My go-to favorite plant for sessions?
Yes.
Well, okay. I have to cheat and have
you like it's a two, shocker, right? Yes.
Two is okay. But, we can accept two.
So one of my all-time go-to favorite plants is the coleus, because one of the things that I want is for people to be successful. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're going to be successful with a coleus.
Yep.
And we know you don't have to propagate them in soil and all that, but we do it, but we also do them in the water just to kind of show the difference. And they come in so many gorgeous, gorgeous colors, you know, and shapes. And have you noticed they have that amazing square stem? And there are many relatives of that coleus that, so it's kind of wakes people up to, my gosh, you mean that plant's related to this plant? And that plant, you know, so we go around checking the square stems.
I love it.
So we always did a lot with coleus. And my other would be pretty much any kind of succulent, because they're tough, but they also, the tactile thing is so great. And especially that zebra haworthia, because it's got those little warts all over it. So we'd always say, how warty are you? That's how you could remember the name. But how it's tactile and so we did, I love doing anything with succulents as well. And the window pane plant
that you could
shine the flashlight into It is a haworthia. If I was my friend Rebecca, I could tell you right now the Latin of that, and I can't right now. But it's another haworthia, yeah. And it's translucent on the top. Oh. So it actually came from the deserts of Africa, I think, and where the sands would blow, and so that was the window pane to let the sunshine in to make the chlorophyll. When the rest of the plant would be covered up with sand. So
right.
Kind of cool. So those are my faves.
Climate adaptations, how we all kind of have to adapt.
Well, right.
Yeah.
And that's the fun part of HT. I think it goes so far, and that a lot of people don't understand until they've seen it in action. Because they'll say, well, why can't just somebody who likes plants do this? And it is that, it's like there's just so many facets. But I think the more you know about that plant and the more you know about the people that you're serving and how you can tie those in mm-hmm. and really get people connected.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Great. Thank you so much, Pam.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You are so welcome. I think we should have another interview with you, because you could continue on with us for so much and get more applicable, you know, testimonials. I think that would be fun to share, is to to kind of give our listeners an opportunity to listen to certain activities or horticultural therapy exercises someday down the road too. That would be fun to to inform.
That'd be fun. So, that would be fun. Well, this is a lot of fun. I told a friend that the big challenge will be to get for you guys to get me to be quiet.
Well, fortunately, I can turn the channel quickly with a new question if I have to. So. But we are really grateful that you took the time, and we really appreciate you contributing to the plethora of interviews that we've had so far. So thank you very much, Pam. And please spread the word.
Thanks so much for including. Yeah.
In your initiative, since you want to get this more streamlined, spread the word about this podcast.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
All right. Bye, of course.
Good night, everyone. We will see you next month.